Good afternoon and welcome to a special weekend edition of Around It About Chattanooga. I am your host, Michael Edward Miller. It's Saturday, February 3rd. Our show features the people, the personalities, and the cultural events that make Chattanooga such an interesting place to live. And today, I'm speaking with the stars of an upcoming Chattanooga Theater Center production. Mimi Kennedy and Bob Bernhardt are starring in Love Letters. This is a special one-night-only performance of the romantic comedy written by A.R. Gurney. It's coming up February 10th. Mimi Kennedy is an award-winning actress who's appeared on Broadway, in Hollywood films, and on several sitcoms. She currently plays Marjorie on the CBS show Mom. Bob Bernhardt is music director emeritus and principal pops conductor of the Chattanooga Symphony and Opera. This is Kennedy's first time acting along Bernhardt.
I've never acted opposite a conductor before, but I'm really excited to do it.
So why was a conductor chosen to play one of the leads in a two-person play? We'll get to that, but first, just a little bit about the play. It's about two characters, Andrew and Melissa, two childhood friends whose lifelong correspondence begins with birthday party thank you notes and summer camp postcards. Andrew and Melissa have a strong emotional connection despite going their separate ways as adults. Andrew goes on to excel at Yale and law school, while Melissa flunks out of school. They marry different people, but there's still a longing between them over the years, a special relationship expressed purely by correspondence. The letters between them are the play. It's a Pulitzer nominee, a classic that's been performed hundreds and hundreds of times by professionals and amateurs. And the way that it works, the staging of it, the two lead actors, the only characters, simply sit on stage together and read the letters out loud, showing the audience how their relationship grows and changes over the years. Here's an excerpt of a performance of Love Letters at Manchester Community College in New Hampshire.
I like seeing you Christmas vacation, particularly with your braces off. I really like necking with you in the Watson's rumpus room. Will you go steady with me?
I don't believe in going steady. It's against my religion. I hated that stuff with all those pairs of pimply people in the Watson's basement, leaning on each other, swaying to that dumb music with all the lights off. If that's going steady, I say screw it. My mother says you should meet as many boys as you can before you have to settle down and marry one of them. That way you'll make less of a mistake. It didn't work for her, but maybe it will work for me.
Can we at least go to the movies together during spring vacation?
That was part of a Manchester Community College performance of A.R. Gurney's Love Letters. Coming up February 10th, here in Chattanooga, Mimi Kennedy and Bob Bernhardt will star as the two letter writers. It's a fundraiser for the Chattanooga Theater Center, a one-night-only performance, and here's our conversation. Mimi Kennedy, Bob Bernhardt, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
The relationship between the two characters in Love Letters, I mean, how would you characterize that? It's definitely not your traditional, like, Nicholas Sparks, saccharine kind of love story.
No.
Lifelong friends, and plus and minus.
Yeah, lifelong friends and mutual esteem, and most interesting for our culture, a deep love that might have gone one way or the other, but there were many restraints due to the characters of these two people, the way they were raised, maybe
exactly.
the losses upbringing. They experienced, the lack, the overabundance of certain things in their lives. I wanted to ask you, Bob, did people you know flash through your mind as you read this aloud? Because what happened to me was, oh, that one is my mother's friend. Oh, that one is my aunt. Oh, that one is, you know, there suddenly came an accumulation of women so that I absolutely knew this woman.
Definitely, absolutely, including every now and then a flash of myself.
Yes.
Certain aspects of it. Absolutely.
Yep, me too. There,
that's the what a gift to be for the writer to have a specific writing specific words, but having it mean so many things to everyone who does it, different things to everybody who hears it and does it.
Yes, yes. Wow.
I was very sorry to hear about the death of your father. I know he was a great influence on you, and I know you loved him very much. I also know he didn't like me. I'm sure he thought I was bad for you, and I probably was. Still, he was a good, decent man, and I always knew where I stood with him when you'd bring me home to your family, back in the old days, back in the land of Oz. I wish I'd had a father like that. Please accept my deepest sympathies. Love, Melissa.
Dear Melissa, thank you for your note on my father. I did love him. He was a classy guy, the best of his breed. Even now he's gone, I can still hear him reminding me of my obligations to my family, my country, and myself in roughly that order. All my life he taught me that those born to privilege have special responsibilities, which is, I suppose, why I came home alone from Japan, why I chose the law, and why I'll probably enter politics at some level, sometime on down the line. Thanks for writing. Love, Andy.
If you're just tuning in, that was part of a Manchester Community College performance of A.R. Gurney's Love Letters. I'm playing that clip just to illustrate a little bit more of the play. I'm speaking with Mimi Kennedy and Bob Bernhardt. They're going to be performing Love Letters February 10th in Chattanooga.
Love Letters has had so many performers attracted to doing it because you're reading letters in front of an audience, and most artists can connect with that kind of beautiful writing, and letter writing, as they often say, is a lost art. So I think a lot of lovers of theater and books, we've all written those letters and wish we had time, and to see an entire two lifetimes revealed through the relationship and the companionship of letters, it's deeply moving.
The play itself, just from purely a staging point of view, it's you two sitting there at a table reading the letters. What is so compelling about the story itself that makes actors perform this over and over and over again around the world?
It's the relationship. That's my opinion. It's the relationship between two human beings that is exposed so gradually and perfectly by this brilliant playwright. I mean, this is it's a Pulitzer-nominated play for, I think, extraordinary reason.
Isn't the first letter of the thank you note, the very polite thank you note?
Yep.
For the book that you gave me, which you
first
tell
the
me.
First, the very first thing, I think, is the male character accepting the invitation to the birthday party.
That's right.
And then it's the book. It's a thank you note.
And that's when they're children. It's starting out when they're kids.
Dear Andy, thank you for the birthday present. I have a lot of Oz books, but not The Lost Princess of Oz. What made you give me that one? Sincerely yours, Melissa.
I'm answering your letter about the book. When you came into second grade with that stuck-up nurse, you looked like a lost princess.
I don't believe what you wrote. I think my mother told your mother to get that book. I like the pictures more than the words.
And Mimi Kennedy, you're currently playing Marjorie on the hit CBS sitcom Mom, and you've been in many other sitcoms and movies. These roles that you've played in the past, how do you think they've prepared you for the role in this production, Love Letters?
Oh, well, for one thing, using many guises helps me feel completely comfortable playing someone from a very young age to a very old age in, 70 minutes or whatever on stage. I'll tell you what's really prepared me for it, though, is my upbringing and my marriage. I've been married a lot of years, and I feel as if knowing my husband from the first year in college, and now, he's 70 and I'm going to be, that's a sense of a lifetime that can happen in an instant. I can look at him and see him at 22 and then immediately him the way he is now. It doesn't matter. That's what prepares me for this. But to perform it, I would have to say I played Ann Landers in a one-woman show, and a one-woman show that you have to memorize, that'll prepare you for anything on the stage.
Yeah, I prepared for this. I was captain of the pinafore in the eighth grade.
Oh, perfect. Oh, my God, yes.
I was also Birdie and Bye Bye Birdie in the 10th grade. So
we love you, Conrad.
Oh, yes, we do.
Will be true. Oh, my God, we could do a little entr'act.
Yeah, we could do that, and then they could just we'll close the whole place down. I mean, like maybe
yeah,
forever.
That's right. Run screaming from the theater.
They will.
For people who don't know, Bob, you, of course, conducted the Chattanooga Symphony for almost 20 years. You're still very much involved with that.
In the Jurassic period, yes.
I mean, how did you get involved with this production specifically, where you're acting and reading letters?
Well, it's all Jim's fault. Actually.
We have to blame it on my brother, my little brother.
I am a friend of a good friend of a gentleman named Jim Kennedy, who right now is the president of the board of the theater center. And he called me and said that, you know, I thought this would be a great thing for my sister and I to do together, but then when I read it, I realized that it shouldn't be a sister and a brother.
Exactly. The ick factor, he called
it. Yeah, that's it. So he said, would I be interested in doing it as a benefit? I said, well, who's the other person? He said, well, my sister's coming in. So I said, no, I can't do it. No, I said, I said, humana, and I said, I'll be fine. I'll be terrified, but I'll be fine.
Oh, my God. When he told me that you were doing it, I was so excited because I said, you know, get some stellar person that means something in Chattanooga. I mean, TV sitcom is all well and good, but really, you need somebody who's got the gravitas and the presence and the thing. And he found the perfect person, my little brother, I call him. Of course, he's much taller than I am. But and I would love to support this theater because, it was in the theater that he met the remarkable and irrepressible Barbara Johnson Kennedy, my sister-in-law. So it should really be a sacred site as far as I'm concerned.
It is. There's a plaque for that, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Somewhere there.
Yeah. Yeah, but also, I think increasingly people are taking their own localities sort of into their own hands and just enhancing it and enjoying it and pouring the energy of their families and their roots. And even if they've, you know, sort of migrated, as I have, to L.A. or my Kennedy siblings, Susan and Dan, Dr. Dan and Jim, have to Chattanooga, you know, people are really sort of getting off the couch from the thing that's far away and going, let's do it. Let's do it here.
That's true.
I'm for that.
And if we don't, do it, nobody will. I mean, we have to be the stewards of our arts and
yes.
in our towns. We have to support them. We have to nurture them. We have to do what we can to keep it going on for our kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And then soul depth, you know, it doesn't just have to be, you know, just facile entertainment. There's a lot to be plumbed and explored about the human heart, and you can do that with the local arts.
You sure can. And I think that this was not necessarily meant to be a segue, but to go back to the play, I think that everyone there in one way or another, whether or not their upbringing is in any way similar to these two people, which is to some extent an upbringing of privilege. Mm-hmm. I think that it's written in such a way that it's extraordinarily relatable to everyone's experiences.
There's a gentleness to it that I think every family, any community, any organized bunch of people doing any service to one another, they get to understand that gentleness is what makes community able to thrive. You can't be harsh and demanding. community together. And I think the gentleness of this relationship between these two people really is an important part of the play.
Yeah, I agree. It's incredibly touching. I'm telling people that it is lighthearted, it's profound, it's hilarious, it's deep, it's difficult, it's hilarious. I mean, it's the pacing of it that's so remarkable. It really works, and this is why it's still being done frequently. 30 years after it was written, and still there.
That's Bob Bernhardt and Mimi Kennedy. We're talking about the play Love Letters. They're going to perform it February 10th at the Chattanooga Theater Center. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll have more with them. You're listening to WUTC.
Support for WUTC comes from the Tivoli Theater Foundation, presenting Jim Brickman, An Evening of Romance, Friday, February 16th, 8 p.m., at the Walker Theater inside Memorial Auditorium. Tickets on sale now at the Tivoli Theater box office, Ticketmaster.com, and 800-745-3000.
You're listening to WUTC 88.1 FM.
WUTC is streaming live at WUTC.org. Visit our website to hear us anywhere, anytime. That's WUTC.org.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking about the play Love Letters, a special one-night performance at the Chattanooga Theater Center. It's a two-person production, and I'm speaking with both stars. Bob Bernhardt plays Andrew. In Chattanooga, Bernhardt is best known as the music director emeritus and principal pops conductor of the Chattanooga Symphony and Opera. Mimi Kennedy is an actress who's appeared on Broadway and numerous films and sitcoms. She's Melissa in the play. Here's more of our conversation.
The sitcom Mom, you just aired the 100th episode. So first of all, congratulations. And so what do you think about this story of Mom, of these two women who've reconnected in sobriety and their friends who were in the 12-step groups with them? What is this that's resonating with so many people?
But the creator, Chuck Lurie, just said it in one word, hope. He said mistakes, flaws, including addiction and alcoholism, do not have to be death sentences. Of course, with the opioid epidemic, that stuff is so lethal that it often is a death sentence, we're finding, and which is horrible. But in recovery, if you start to take those steps and you do it again in community, so that's an anonymous community, what you say at the meeting stays at the meeting. There's anonymity, there's trust, there's safety, and there's growth. And it's spiritual growth and also growth in the material world once you put away the substance or you stop the behavior. And that is an endless field for stories. I mean, human flaws be what they are. Just in 24 hours, you could pick out one of the 12 steps and say, let's do a story about this one, and you could make it funny and moving. So I just think it's a beautiful expression of what I know many of the writers care about, which is living here in Hollywood without emotional craziness, drama, and substance. Any kind of addiction, either to emotional drama or substance abuse. So they know what they're writing about, and we actors kind of know, too. We're all pretty, it's of a certain age. This is not a teenage dating sitcom. So the stories just keep coming, and we really enjoy each other. Plus, the actors, I'm working with an Oscar nominee, so what can I tell you?
And they're working. She's working with you too. Both lucky.
Yeah.
Well, and you were nominated for a Critics' Choice TV Award for your performance on there, and you started out as a guest performer. You've taken more and more of a leading role as the show has gone on. What is your sense of how much longer that it will go on? I mean, I'm sure you haven't been told like this will go for exactly 10 seasons or whatever, but just in general.
Well, one never knows because it's all an economic matter, ultimately, at the media corporation. But I did hear a lot of, let's have 100 more from the powers that be at our 100th episode birthday party, which was last weekend. Oh. And, you know, these actors, Anna Faris, she produces as well. She's got a podcast. She's written a very funny book, advice book. And Allison, they have their pick of things to do. But interestingly, Academy Award-winning actresses are constantly wishing they could get to TV in something meaningful. Mm-hmm. So it looks like everybody's inner agreement is that we would like to do this show for quite some time.
It's amazing who's on TV now, isn't it? Some of
Oscar
winners all over the place now doing TV for great reason. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, this is it's some really good writing. It's episodic. You get to explore a lot. You don't have to go on location away from your children or your family, which a lot of women have at some point. They don't want to spend 8 months over in Bulgaria. They want to be home. But it's a wonderful time for the arts in television, I think. And I kind of like what's happening with the movement of so many women saying, you know, we're going to have our say, and it's not all about anger or pushback or, you know, blowback. It's also about, listen, this is what we care about. Yes, it's fun to date and get a man and worry about that, but here's the other stuff we care about.
I think also for me with mom, the one of the great ways that helps the cure for healing is laughter.
Yep.
And being able to laugh at oneself, at one situation, at life, and at the same time, your show every now and, you know, it's got that, and then it goes, and then it hits you. At the same
Laughter's the shame buster.
Yeah, that's, I love that. That's beautiful.
And well, and I think something that critics have said is, you know, it seems unlikely that you would get comedy from addiction and 12-step groups. And I would say, well, then obviously you've never been to a 12-step meeting, because if it was just all doom and gloom, nobody would ever go to them.
Exactly. Exactly. Bonnie's character said to, Allison said to Anna at one point, you know, if we're not sober, none of this happens. Life has to happen to us, and it gets worse the more addicted and weak we become. Once we admit we're weak, that's funny, and then we step back into some kind of strength. But life is funny, let's face it, if you can be strong enough to not be crushed by shame and remorse. That's what the group of, you know, 12-step group is about, helping you through that.
How does a production like this compare to a table read for a sitcom that you're working on?
I defer.
I defer. How about going the first time through with an orchestra? I'd like to hear about that. But I'll just say this. Very similar. For me, very similar. I love to, what they say, cold read. And we get the script beforehand, so I read it through silently myself, and then I can't wait to read it out loud and hear all the voices. But by then, we're familiar with our characters, and it's not a struggle to find the voice. But this love letter is similar. I just love it. It's such great writing. I can't wait to hear it out loud. What I wanted to ask you, Bob, Mike, thank you. Thank you for participating in our little interview. But Bob, really, what's it like the first time you bring the violins and the cellos and the horns and the together? I mean, is it mishmash?
Well, the thing about the conducting thing is that there really is no place to practice except in front of 70 or 80 people.
Exactly.
Who know their business better than you know theirs.
Yes.
And so that I had a teacher. Oh, tell us about it, Bob. Okay, I will. I had a teacher who he never got angry unless you weren't prepared. If you hadn't done your studying, then he would dress you down. And I never wanted to be that person. So if you've studied and you're ready to go and you do your best work, then that first reading is both a revelation, but it's also it's part of the joy.
Wow. So very similar, actually.
Very.
To acting.
Yep.
Extremely. You bring it with you to the table, and the combination can be a joy, because what's supposed to happen happens, which is that it exponentially increases the beauty and the meaning of what's on the page.
Right, and what happens from that first reading to when you actually are shooting,
yeah,
is exactly what happens in the rehearsal process. From the first time you read it to when,
wow,
you're actually playing for an audience, it grows, it changes. And if you're a listener, the conductors are supposed to be listeners. They're not supposed to tell people. They're supposed to be listening. And actors, you're always listening to your colleagues. And by when you do that, you really find out. And forgive me, this is too deep, but you find out your truth.
Yes.
You know what really it really means to you. And I mean, we're pretty lucky, aren't we, Mimi? I mean, it's just,
oh my God, yes, yeah,
to have that,
yeah,
in our lives all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. When I was little, there would be other mothers saying to me, "Well, Mimi, you're lucky. You know what you want." And I used to think, well, why don't people know what they want?
Yeah,
you know,
you
why
go.
Is that lucky? But and then, of course, you know, mid-career or early career, go lucky schmucky. I'm, yeah, you know, being rejected at every turn, and I,
yep,
have, you know, $17 left for the month, and I'm, yep, eating Drake's cakes for breakfast every. You know, there is a struggle involved, but yes, we are lucky because we've always loved what we've chosen.
That's true. And that's when parents ask me about what their kids should do. And I said, I encourage them to continue, but if they don't love it, that's going to make a difference. They,
yeah,
maybe shouldn't,
yeah,
continue if they don't truly love what they're doing in the arts. Cause,
yeah,
you have,
yeah,
to be able to accept rejection,
yeah,
and you have to persevere, and you have to have that in your, as part of your toolbox. You have to be strong, even in a very, even if you're thin-skinned, you have to learn how to get through that.
Yeah, because self-doubt is the most crippling,
yeah,
even if you love it, but self-doubt overcomes how much you love it. That's why it's so important, yeah, to encourage children in what they love.
Yeah.
Because that's the way that self-doubt won't you know, mar their trajectory.
That's it. So true.
Huh.
Ha. We've got this figured out.
Yeah, right. Why doesn't everybody do what we do? That's one question I wanted to ask Bob while we're on the phone. So when I'm working, say, you know, I'm called in to do a part anyway, and some other person isn't saying a line the way I would, or bouncing back the way that I would, you know, I want to do the conducting thing, like there's more and that, or whatever, faster,
yeah,
let's all do this. But there's, you know, the director is our conductor, and in Mom,
right,
we don't have to worry about this because this is a skilled ensemble. But when you're, you know, I look at Dudamel, say, or, you know, waving the arms and, you know, going to the horns or the wherever, and sort of really energetically, seemingly saying, come forth, I told you this is the part where I want more of that. No, calm down, not so much, not so much. Is that what's going through your mind when you're conducting?
Yes, but with what you're describing is, the word you said is, I told you, and the sausage is made in the rehearsals.
Okay.
The work is done in that rehearsal process, and when by the time the orchestra, when you see Dudamel conducting the orchestra, or you go to a concert, or you see a concert performance, he is at that point reminding everyone of what they agreed on, what they.
Okay.
And then adding the magic that only happens when you have an audience, right? When you have,
yes,
when you have people that you're sharing it with, it takes,
yes,
it to that next level. That's what you always hope for. It's that,
yes,
it's,
yes,
magic.
Oh wow, it's so much like acting.
It's exactly,
huh,
the same. It is,
yep,
totally the same.
That's Mimi Kennedy and Bob Bernhardt. We're talking about the play Love Letters. They're going to perform it February 10th at the Chattanooga Theater Center. It's a special one-night-only performance, a fundraiser for the CTC. There will also be live music and suites.
It's going to be wonderful. You know, sometimes when you do these one-night-only things, you just look back at them for a long time going, I wish all theater could be like that.
Well, I consider myself to be unbelievably lucky on so many levels, especially since I am I was first a fan of your brother's, and have become a fan of yours beyond measure, and I'm so glad to have this chance.
Thanks. I can't wait. It's a mutual honor then, because I've never acted opposite a conductor before, but I'm really excited to do it for all the reasons that we've said.
We'll do our best.
Thank you.
Mike, thank you.
Again, that was Bob Bernhardt and Mimi Kennedy, their performance of Love Letters, coming up in Chattanooga February 10th. For more information, go to theatercenter.com. That's theatercenter.com, or just Google Chattanooga Theater Center.